Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Got two that are going to get up now. If we can, you know, this is homegrown stuff. Adam has been like a son to me for ages and ages. And it's like, whatever, you know, when you look at your son and you think there's so much in you, why don't you do something? Yeah, we all get it, yeah. And but he's come alongside one or two others. It's not just us here. And they've encouraged him and he's stepped forward. And I can't wait to hear what Adam's got. And I've known Tony since I was this high and we've been mates and there's a whole bag load of stuff you're never going to know that we did together, and you don't want to know. And but then God saved us about 30 years ago, and there's still a whole bag load of stuff you don't want to know about anyway. So but I'm really looking forward to hearing what Tony's got to say. But let's give them both a round of applause in the name of Jesus. Let's stand and honor these guys. You're honouring them. You're honouring what God is going to do through them. And praise the Lord. All right, mate.
Wow. It's such a privilege and an honour to have Clive call me like a son. I'm really touched, I must say. Freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon the cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever, my God, you're glorified. Servant and King, you rescued my life. You are my God. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. And I just pray that you would just speak to your people right now. So there was a famous preacher. One Sunday after the family got home from church, he asked his son to pray. And the son was very young at the time, and he prayed, God, we had such a wonderful time in church today. I wish you could have been there. God loves us dearly. You know, guys, I can't impress that much. And I know you hear it a lot. And I know sometimes you could get relaxed with the truths of the Bible. But God loves us so much. And the love of God is just hard to describe. It's like the love of a father for his children and the love of a husband for his wife. In the Bible, we have been given, the Bible, we who have given our lives to Jesus are called his children and his bride. Those of us, we are one body with him and have the same nature. Like any father or husband, being with your children and wife brings great joy. I do my best to spend as much time as I can with my beloved Maria. Because when I'm with her, I feel complete. And I believe for God it's like this. You know, like when he's with his people, he feels complete. God really loves us. For example, you know, and you've heard John 3:16 so many times, but think about it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God so loved us, guys, just to show you how much, you know, like his love for us is. So this message is about his presence, you know, and God being with us. When the Bible talks about the presence of God, what does it mean? Because, you know, when I'm present with somebody, it's like, okay, I'm here. But then right now, I'm telling you, God is here. And some people might say, where is God, though? You know, just like the kid, you know, he's like, Lord, I wish you were there at church. So when we look in the Bible, we see that God's presence differs in intensity at different times. In Psalms 139, verses 7 to 8, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." And I feel David is not just saying that God is literally everywhere. Like his essence saturates everything. An interesting way of looking at it is like we say that God is infinite and everything that's created is finite. So finite things must live inside the infinite, right? So, but then David's saying you are literally in me. So not only are you around me, you surround me, but you live in me. So there's nowhere I can go that you will not be, whether it's heaven or hell, you know. And then in Genesis, right? So in Genesis, we know that God lived with man. He made them, put them in a garden, and he would hang out with them. And yeah, so Genesis 4:16 says, "So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden." You know, here we are. We're like, God, come down in your presence. You know, like just fill this place. Like, Lord, turn up. This guy, he turns his back and walks away from God. Clearly, there was something in him that he just was struggling to express himself somehow, and he didn't want to be in God's presence. So, like, he left the presence of God. So we can see that God is everywhere, yet there are certain places that he's literally like, you know, his presence is just like so manifest. So, yeah. Okay. So why is the presence of God important to us as Christians? Well, yeah, God wants to be with us. If we are to live that normal Christian life that we read in the Bible and we expect as Christians, we need God's presence. We are not magicians. He is the power. He has the power. And we are just obedient. We are his witnesses, the Bible says. So God says, okay, Adam, this is what I'm doing. I would like you to go here and lay hands on this sick person and I will heal them. That's how it works. We don't do what we want. We are his children. We are his servants. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Yeah, so, having the presence of God with us comes with many benefits. When a person is able to manifest the tangible presence of God in any location, supernatural things happen. So, in Exodus 13, verse 21, it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night." So literally, God protected them from the really harsh heat of the sun by being a cloud. So this is the children of Israel. They've just come out of Egypt. God's just delivered them. He's done with his mighty hand, done so many miraculous works. Now he's with them in the desert. He takes the form of a cloud to protect them from the sun. And at night, there's a pillar of fire that follows them from behind. So, like, it's lit up. So when they need to travel, they'll know where they're going. And basically, they needed lights. You know, like, we've got street lamps. You know, back in those days, that weren't the case. So God was, you know, their sufficiency. God provided everything they needed. Also, in Exodus 33:15, Moses says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here.'" So Moses sees the value of the presence of God with him, you know, and God actually replies him and says, "You know, I'm going to go with you guys because I'm really pleased with you, Moses. You know, because I know you and I'm pleased with you, I'm going to go with you." And God went with them, and God was there, and he supported them, protected them. Sorry, I just need to get something. Okay, so, actually, yeah, Deuteronomy 23:14 says, "Because the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give your enemies before you, give up your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy so that he may not see anything indecent among you and turn away from you." So here it's showing us that God wants to walk with us in everyday life. He wants to protect us and watch over us. So we need to value that presence. We need to value that, yes, we need this in our life. Another interesting thing about the presence of God, when God's presence is there, in Psalms 97 verse 5, it says, the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Now, in the Bible, mountains and hills have like many meanings. Two of them are problems and difficulties. So it's saying that when God is with you, when God is going with you, your problems, he will deal with your problems. There are some problems that he'll deal with supernaturally, just by his presence being there. And there's some problems that he'll just give you the solution. He'll be like, you know what, this is what you need to do. Do this. And, you know, those problems and difficulties just melt like wax. Okay. Yes, I love this one. So 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And the remarkable thing about that is, I love this image I get about, you know, it's, the Bible also says that God is light. And, you know, if you walk into a dark room and you just switch the light on, there's no contention. It's not a fight. Darkness just goes. So when God turns up, certain things just can't live there. Certain things just can't be there. And when his light comes into a situation, a lot of darkness is dispelled. So, like in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve, God wants to live and be with us. God had Israel build a tent, then a temple, so that he could be present with them. Jesus came and lived with man so that God could be present with his people. Amen. And at the end of the Bible in Revelations, God will make a new earth and a new heaven, and he will live with his people and be with us forever. So we can see that it's always been God's desire to be with us. We are his family, we are his people, his beloved, his bride, as I've said before. So how do I get the presence of God? So how do I apply this? To get God's presence, we want his attention. One of the ways to get God's attention is by praising him, you know. God loves it when we tell him how great we think he is. And when we recount to him the wonderful things he has done in our lives, you know, as a man, you know, when Maria tells me how great she thinks I am and reminds me of things that I've done for her, that makes her feel good. It makes me feel very useful and valued. It just touches me. It's like, wow, like I actually make a difference, you know, like, okay, the whole world don't matter. You know, this is life, you know, this is where it's happening. So we're like him. So he wants to be appreciated, you know, like we're alive because of him. There's so many things we enjoy because of the benefits he gives us daily. The Bible says that he daily loads us with benefits. You know, the very fact that to live life is a privilege. We didn't ask to be born. We didn't ask to be here. We were just born and like we're making the most of it. You know, we've been given this privilege to enjoy this, you know, love, hate, food, you know, just walking, all the things that we enjoy are just so remarkable. So when we appreciate him, it makes him feel good because it's like, yeah, oh, my children love me. You know, like they actually think I'm, you know. Yeah. So basically, whoops. Sorry, let me just find where I got to. Yeah, so we're getting God's attention, right? Yep. So a good example of like praising him, you know, getting his attention through praise is Acts 16:25. It says about midnight. So Paul and Silas, they went somewhere. They got put in prison for being Christians and like preaching the gospel and doing Christian stuff. So now right now they're in prison. So Acts 16:25 says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And at once, the prison door flew open and everyone's chains became loose. So they started praising God. God's overwhelmed. He's like, you know, guys, I'm going to turn up. So obviously, he turns up and like, you know, doors open, chains are broken. And yeah, he sets them free. So another one is, this is a really cool one. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12, it says, all the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood at the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests. sounding trumpets. The trumpets and the musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. So they were praising God in unison, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud of the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So God turned up. So, you know, they were praising Him, and, you know, and He was so overwhelmed. God's like, you know what? I want to be there. I want these people to know that I'm very pleased, and He turns up. So to conclude, you know, have you, like Cain, walked away or walking away from God? Or would you like to meet with Him and invite Him into your life? It's very simple. All you have to do is ask Him to come into your life and lead you in the way He has made you for. Praise God.
Amen. Well done, Adam. Quick changeover with the mic. So, guys, let's just raise our hand, and we've spoke about the presence of God. If you don't know the presence of God in your life, then this is how we do it. Just follow me in prayer in your mind. You don't have to say it. Lord, I thank you that you are real and alive. Lord, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. And I ask you today to forgive me of all that I have done wrong in my life. And Lord, I pray that you would fill my heart with your presence. Help me to know your revelation. Help me to know that you are with me, as Adam has said. Help me to know that you love me, as Adam has said. Lord, fill my heart afresh. Fill my heart afresh. Thank you, Lord. Just receive your God. He's either alive or the Bible's fake. Everyone in here near enough knows and has met this God, and He's alive and is well, and He loves you today. Thank you, Lord. Over to you, Tony. There we go.
One, two. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Adam. And isn't it wonderful this morning that God's presence is here? This is standing up here is a new for me. Worship was fantastic. Adam's word, the feeling here is lovely this morning. So let's welcome God's presence. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. Lord, and we're going to be talking about your presence, Lord, and we want more of your presence, Lord. Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, if there's anything we need to deal with, Lord, we pray that you bring that to the surface, Lord. Lord, we pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we love you. We need you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is my, I think I was going to say second time in 3 weeks, but it's my third time in 3 weeks. Last week, I was up there. Wasn't I? The week before, I was over there. And for those of you who weren't here, it was a bit of a wee. We're having a little dance up here. We had a dance for the Lord. good times. Now I'm in the middle. Well, as we know, we're going to be talking on the presence of God in our life, how to get it, what things subdue it, and the way back. So to get the presence of God in our lives, we need to be born again. This is the first start of anyone who wants to experience God's presence. We need to be born again. It says in John 3:3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And then you need to be sure that you are saved. This is where God's presence comes from. You need to be sure of your salvation. So if there's anyone out there who's not sure, who doesn't feel they're saved, then speak to someone before you leave here. Being born again is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a human being. Please, is it there? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. 1 John 12 says, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Hallelujah. What? So as Christians, it's good to feed on the word of God. Reading God's word brings the presence of God into our hearts, helps us to understand what we are reading. And so on. That's one of the ways I got saved, through reading the word. God gave me the power to clean up some stuff in my life. And I was reading, and I never used to be able to understand it. And this night, the whole Bible, what I was reading just exploded in my face. And I was like, whoa, what is, and I was, from that moment on, I was gone. I was gone for the Lord. Hallelujah. We are all babies in Christ, making mistakes, as we all know. We're all human, aren't we? We learn new ways of dealing with life, and it takes adjustment, you know. 30, 40, 50 years of learning has to be, God turns it around, and we have to adjust. 1 Peter 2, 2-3 says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is God. Lord is good. God is good.
All the time.
Yeah, come on, Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was first come to the Lord, I'm not sure who said it to me. They might have been Clive, but God sees like we're on baby reins. Like when we give our heart to him, we're like little newborn like kids on, and God's got the rein. And we're off over there, and he's like, no, come back this way. No, over there, no, no. Oh, picks us up, dusts us off, and then coming over this way again. And it's like a learning process as we feed on the word, learn new ways. So to enhance the presence of God in our life, I put here read, pray, quiet time. But it should be pray first, then read, then quiet time, and waiting on God. All these things will build your relationship with him, make you stronger inside, and help you to see a life a little bit more clearly. Confessing and dealing with sin. You know, we've all got sin in our lives in certain areas. And God's a gracious God, a God who loves us, cares for us. He won't throw all your sin at you at once. I want you. He will point out, there'll be something that you know that you need to address. And as we do that, doors will be opened. Doors will be opened. Hallelujah. Sharing your faith with others. You know, this is such a... that's the best time when God's presence is with you, when you're sharing your faith. It says in the Word somewhere like, you know, do not worry what you say, I am with you. Yeah. Well, that's true. When you, as soon as you open that for God and witness to someone, look what Jesus has done for me, you will be immersed in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meeting as a Christian family. Here we are. This is like the Christian hospital of a Sunday morning, yeah, where we come to encourage one another, share with one another, pray for each other. This is where we build each other up, yeah? Encouraging one another, praying for each other. And I just want to take this moment to thank you so much. So many of you here have really been a great help to me. Encouragement and all things like that. Because I wasn't in a good place a while back. And you have been a real blessing. And it's because of you that I'm standing here today. So I thank you, well, for the Lord. But your encouragement has helped me to get to this place. So I thank you for that. Thank you for that. Using your resources wisely. You know, time, what you do with your time, you know, sharing for God, tithing, all that sort of thing. Once you get that in line, the presence of God comes more. Doors open again. Other areas in your life. Another one, loving your enemies. Now, there's one. Try to remember that God loves the enemies as much as he loves you. You know, I've had a bit of a rough time last month. My family has turned on me again. All of a sudden I'm serious about what I'm doing, and it's not been a good time. I've been attacked quite, me and my wife have been attacked. It's, you know, when I was being told about this, I was boiling. I've got to admit, I was boiling. Oh, because my old way of dealing with life isn't pretty. But, and I was thinking, and then all of a sudden the Lord just fell in, and he said, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of me. And people say all kinds of this and that. And I was in the room that they were still talking. I was just, this peace had come over me. And I spoke peace into the situation. It's okay. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Keep your peace in them situations. Keep your peace. Do it God's way and blessings will come. Doors will be opened. Your obedience to God opens doors. And that was a new area for me because most of my life was aggressive. And now I've seen it for another light. And I praise God. By the grace of God, go I. So, hallelujah. So, as Christians, we can do nothing for God without his presence. Only through his presence can we be effective for Christ. You can't do nothing without his presence. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Hallelujah. For only in his presence can we deal with sin or forgive or love our enemies. God's presence is everything in our lives, yes? Love conquers all, and God is love. Everything is all about love, loving others. Hallelujah. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, this is great, this scripture, I love this one. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, streams of living water will flow from him. I just love that. And then when you share, when you witness, when you do things for God, you can feel it in you. It's streams of living water flow from you. Hallelujah. And John 17:20-23 says, the glory, this is Jesus praying for us. The glory you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. How much does God want our presence, that prayer? We are one with the God Almighty who placed the stars and the heavens. He wants to be part of our life. Hallelujah. So, you know, I'm so glad to be here, one. But I'm so glad that I worship a living God. Amen. And not someone who said a few wise words, but is dead. You know, our God is alive today. He's here in the church. He's in our hearts. Can you feel the presence of God in here this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now comes the bit of a downer now. But unfortunately, there's someone who doesn't want us to have the presence of God. There's a battle going on. We all know about this battle, don't we? You know, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. You ever seen a lion in its cage when it's hungry, prowling around? It's not a pretty sight. You wouldn't want to be in there with it, would you? So we have an enemy who wants to upset us and distract us. But first of all, let me say that this enemy is by far not as powerful as our God, who is here today. Amen. Yeah? God is sovereign. The enemy is already defeated. And with God's power and presence, we can overcome. We can overcome. He can't take your salvation away from you. All he can do is distract you. He's very cunning. He knows your weaknesses. So be alert and never underestimate him. Stay close to Jesus. The Bible warns us to be on our guard. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to put on the full armour of God to protect ourselves from the fiery darts. And they will come. You ask God into your life, you're going to upset him. It's going to happen. In the Bible, there are many that have fallen. Great men. That's what I love about this book. It tells you everything. This is the key to everything. You know about David, who was a great man of God and fell to lust for Bathsheba. There was Peter, who was with the Lord for 3 years, ended up denying him. And many others in the Bible, but that's another sermon, which I'll leave to the pastor. But both of these men and all the others were restored back to God through repentance and made stronger. So repentance is the key when we fall. Hallelujah. Here are some of the things that the devil can throw at you to suppress the presence of God. Where do I start? Doubt, guilt, worry, you know. At the moment, with the temperature of the way the world is at the moment, there's all sorts of cares and worries. You know, everyday life, you wake up, there's something you've got to worry about, something you've got to do, things going on in your life. Jesus says, cast your cares on me. You know, and the more we do that, the more we learn to do that, the easier the suppressing of the feelings goes, like, you know. Fear is another one of these tactics. You know, you look at the Clive was mentioned earlier on, with Afghanistan, it's awful. It's awful out there, isn't it? You know, I don't normally watch the news. I can't. And anyway, I was in the living room the other day and it was on. And I looked in, I thought, Jesus is coming back. There was fires, there was earthquakes, there was famines, there's wars. I was like, what is that on the telly? And I had to fight, get that off. You know, it says that, you know, but the Bible says this is going to happen, but we're not to fear. We stay focused. We look above. We look to the Lord. Focus on his presence. We are safe. We are going to heaven. We are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Slander, gossip, accusations, that sort of thing, you know, it comes your way, doesn't it? Try not to get involved. You know, it doesn't do no good. I heard if you're not a part of the problem or the solution, say nothing. No, pray for God's peace. Pray for God's peace in the situation. And I'm not saying this as I'm an expert. I'm learning myself. God is so gracious to teach us as we go, but we're learning as we go. Yeah, we're not what we're supposed to be, but we're on the right path. Is it someone saying or something? But laziness, you know, not wanting to do a lot, always late, work, this, doing things that aren't important for God. You know, the devil's very good at making you busy doing stuff that's really not that what you don't want to do. And we're all, you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and all that, you know. And when the midweek group comes up, you know, I'll get home from work and I have my dinner, I'll sit down, I could really do without this tonight. You know, I just want to sit here and do nothing tonight. I've got another busy day tomorrow. No, come on. And then every time that I've gone through that and done the meeting, doors open. There's a blessing. I come down alive. I can't get back. I can't get asleep after that. Hallelujah. home entertainment, TV. It's full of bad news and it can be a big distraction. You know, you can get into unforgiveness in our heart. Is another one. Very important that we deal with this. You know, I think all of us have had certain things, and you know, it can be painful but it does depress the spirit of God. If we can't, we've got to try and give it to the Lord. You know, sometimes things happen, I'll give it to the Lord, and I find that a few hours gone by and I'm taking it back again. No, I don't want it. Please, Lord, take this. You know, it doesn't go completely, but the more we give it to the Lord, the easier it becomes, you know. You see the other side of it. Hallelujah. You know, so this unforgiveness, you know, transparency is key with God. Transparency. When we conceal sin, we're going to fall. You know, speak with God and keep it real. Keep it real. He knows anyway. He knows everything. Tell him, you know. This is how I fell. I fell badly. Concealing my drinking. I was brought up in an environment where drink was very acceptable. And from an early age, drink was the white. That was it. That was my God for a long time. And I fell back into drinking. It took me out for a long time. But you know what I thought? I thought, well, God won't mind me having a bit of an holiday. You know, I've done loads for him. He's all right. Me and him are all right. Yeah, me and him are all right. We, more of that. And this went on for a long time. And it you know... I ended up in a real, you know, after a while, you just stop hearing. It's very faint, it becomes, the voice, you know. And I used to be up the yard and Clive would be up there. I think, oh, no, he's here again. He's going to ask me how I'm doing. He's going to ask me how I'm doing. I think, try and avoid him. Don't look, don't look, don't look. Don't look. He come more towards me. I walk over this way. Well, might be a minute. Just got to get something. And he said, how are you? I go, yeah, great. I'm not great. I mean, but I couldn't tell him because I wasn't ready. But eventually, you know, the story of the prodigal son comes to mind, you know. He wanted to go off and have a fast living and do his stuff, live his life, what he thought was living his life. I can relate to that. I thought I was having a good time and in Tony's time, but Tony's time is dangerous, you know. It's not good time. So I ended up in not a very good place at all. Awful, actually, you know, really awful. But then, you know, Clive used to say a few things to me, and I thought, I've got to get back to this. I've got to get, and the Lord, I could feel the Lord, and I want to get back. But I used to make an excuse, I ain't coming back unless this is for real this time. I'm not going in half-heartedly just to go, you know, sit there every once a week and that's it. If I'm going back, I'm going back for good. And this is a fresh start. And I was walking the woods up there with my dog, up near where Clive lives. And I was like, Lord, Lord. And I was trying, come on. And I just stood in these woods and put my arms in the air. I went, Lord, please, I want to come back. Help me. Help me, Lord, please. And I was crying and I'm helping, and someone walked past me at morning. I went, was that you, Lord? Was that you? Did you say good morning? But You know, when we're sincere and when we give God our heart, when we're genuine, God knows. When we want this, God will bring us back. God will bring us back. And God is so gracious. You know, I used to think all these stuff I've been drinking, doing this, I won't go into it. He's never going to have me back. Has he? You know, surely not. And all that doubt, guilt, fear, all that. Forget that. He doesn't throw accusations at us when we come back. God forgives. He wipes us. Wipes our tears. Wipes the dirt off our knees. Off the grazes. Come to me. He throws a robe on us. Puts a ring on our finger. Come. I love you. So, yeah, God is so good. He's always wanting to restore us. Whatever we do, He's a loving God. Always wanting to restore us. You know, some of the things we've talked about this morning, if something's on your heart, if there's something you've been challenged by this morning, you know, don't leave here. Come and receive prayer. If you just want a good feeling of God's presence, God's presence in the house, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we'll pray down here. We'll pray down here. Let's all stand. There's nothing that our God can't do. Hallelujah. He is alive. He is here. He is with us. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much. You know where each one of us are, Lord, in our walk with you. Lord, we pray that you speak to us, Lord. Lord, help us in our weaknesses, Lord. Strengthen us in our strengths, Lord. Lord, make us an effective people for you. Hallelujah. So, in Jesus' name, bless you all. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's worship God, eh? Well done.